Going on, y'all? It's Cecilario Hernandez here. This is the Corpus Christi Originals Podcast. All right, we're live, guys. Welcome to the show.
All right, thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, appreciate y'all coming on. So, somebody reached out. Who reached out? Was it Lee? It was you, right, Lee?
Yeah, I was been looking for like the best podcasts in Corpus, and you were the top, man. So, like, it's pretty awesome.
No kidding, bro. All right, oh, cool. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I like to have musicians on here. No, I haven't had like, what are y'all, like Southern rock or what style are you guys?
Yeah, we've branded ourselves recently modern Southern rock. We were kind of boring on the edge of Texas country for years until we got our Corpus drummer Pete Gutierrez in there, and he is all rock all day, man. Nice. I saw you had a shirt that said Corpitos on the website there, and we've like every once in a while we use the hashtag Corpitos Rock as well. So like,
yeah, that's cool. Corpitos, I saw that.
Grunge.
Yeah, Corpitos Grunge.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man, that's pretty cool, bro. And I listened to a couple of y'all songs on YouTube. Check them out, guys, on YouTube. And it was I don't know. For me, it was kind of like '90s, maybe like '90s grunge. That's why you call it grunge, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Some of it definitely Can't Blame It on the Rain is definitely grunge. Yeah,
definitely. I could hear that the acoustic at the start, right?
Yeah.
That, whatever it is. Yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's cool. But yeah, I have like, I had a few rap artists, but nothing like grunge or rock. I actually started out like on heavy stuff, you know, like, I don't know, like Pantera, like stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I like to have musicians on here talking about their stuff. And this is awesome. So you guys are based in Corpus and Portland?
Yeah, half of us are in Portland, half of us are in Corpus. We call the Coastal Bend home, but yeah. we practice at Lee's house in Portland.
Oh, that's right. That's cool, man. So how'd you guys get together? I mean, where did this all start? Like, you know what I mean? So how did y'all start? How did y'all get together?
For sure.
How did y'all come together? What's up there?
The two of us that first started together were me and Wade Capps, and we were both going to the same church but didn't really know each other, and we saw an empty stage and both were thinking maybe it's time to like get out the music instruments and do something finally. So apparently I didn't even know this originally, on the same day we asked the music leader, like, do you need somebody? Because it was just like one lady playing guitar, and she's amazing. But like, just felt like they wanted to have a band. So we came on the same day and we got to like really build up skills playing live every Sunday. And then I was like, Wade, we have to do, like, I want to play more. I want to do other stuff. So we did coffee shop shows as Reluctant Harmonies for a couple of years. And then Brian wandered it off the street. No, that's not true.
that's pretty close.
Yeah.
Right, so, on, man. So
Wade and Brian's wife worked together at the station, and then eventually Brian works there as well over at KRIS. So that's where you should get all your news.
Right on.
So Brian had done karaoke for years, and he's like, I want to sing with you guys. And I was like, okay, sure, we'll give it a shot. And he's really awesome. And then he brought all of his notebooks of lyrics, and we started kind of writing on the side. And then we kind of had like a flare out gig where we tried to do a full gig, like 4 hours of covers, and it's terrible. Wow. And we were like, no, let's just write our own stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, that's been the journey of the East and the Crow since then. We did some recordings and we've, you know, had some different people roll through on drums, but in our current lineup, it's I'm on bass and keys, and Brian writes our awesome lyrics and does lead vocals and frontman stuff. He runs out into the crowd with his wireless mic.
You kind of got to do that as a front man, yeah?
Yeah,
especially like, I don't play any instruments. So it's, in my opinion, it's my job to try to get the crowd hyped up, get them entertained, make sure they're into it. Because a lot of times, you know, we're playing to people who've never heard our music before. So it's not like they're hearing covers and singing along. So,
right.
You know, I want them to, you know, pay attention and listen and, you know, maybe know the songs next time they come or whatever. So I try my best to entertain.
Yeah, for sure. And it's very difficult to get your stuff out there if they don't know it. You know what I mean?
Very, yeah.
It's like you got to throw a cover in there now and then, you know, just to bring them back to the show, you know?
Yeah, it seems that way sometimes.
Yeah, it sucks. But so, yeah, so you guys have got, y'all are on Spotify. Is that the main source of like getting your stuff out there other than playing live?
Yeah, we've got our stuff on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, and then a lot of our newer stuff we haven't gotten into the studio yet with. Mm-hmm. So that stuff you can hear on YouTube and see our live performances from like Surf Club, House of Rock, Brewster Street. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we post all of our live videos on YouTube just so that people have access to the newer songs, because I mean, we get really good responses when we play stuff out in public and they're like, where can we hear it? I'm like, well, the older stuff's on, you know, yeah. Apple, Spotify, the newer stuff you can listen to on YouTube for now. We've got, you know, until we can work on the new album.
Well, we did release two new songs this year. That's Everywhere, Can't Blame It on the Rain, and Punching Bag Baby. So we recorded those out in Flower Bluff.
Check them out. Yeah, hell yeah.
Harvey City Sound Lab. Great guys over there. So.
Yeah. Dude, that's what's up, man. So y'all do you? So you're putting the singles out there. People are. Well, that's good, man. You're getting a response from the crowd and where they can hear it, man. So is there any other things? Well, I noticed you guys had a sponsored like commercial, like on Instagram or something. You know what I'm saying? Like is that another type of marketing that you're doing to get your?
Oh yeah, out? No. We're trying different things. We're trying to do more TikTok videos and stuff, and we did. Doing more vertical video for people, because that's kind of where it's at now.
Because we were the pandemic, right?
Like, open for Clarissa Serna's band on Friday night at Brewster Street.
Hell yeah.
So we're good friends with Clarissa. She works at the station with half the guys that work over there. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun show that we were trying to promote. We're playing with that new Canva video editing software, so you can like go in there, and we're trying to do new stuff.
Dude, that's cool, man. Good for y'all. So you got some older members in there. What is it? Turning 40? Some guy turned 40. He wanted to get in. What's up with that?
So that was one of the prompts that I had thrown in here. So like, we kind of say that this is our one and only shot at being rock stars. Cause we started, you know, in 2018, I was in my late 20s. Some of the guys are on their way to 40. Ralph, who's our lead guitarist, is amazing. We don't peg him at an age. He's just our Uncle Ralph. so we range the gamut, but this is our, like, we're taking this as our chance. We're putting all of our energy and heart and soul into, you know, this band.
That's so cool, man. That's good.
It makes it work, though. You know, like, you talk to a lot of musicians who are in a lot of bands, and they're like, you know, my last band this, my first band that. And with us, is like, we started so late in life. It was like, we don't have time to mess around and go through different bands and different band members. So, you know, we all kind of listen to each other's input and, you know, try to put out the best music that we can, to where we all feel like, hey, we wrote this together. Like, this is the East and the Crow. This is our music, you know?
Right.
And you can hear it. I mean, a lot of the times, like, I bring the grungy kind of lyrics and the grungy kind of voice out. And sometimes my voice is a little twangy depending on how the guys are playing the guitars. And and Ralph, the older guy, Uncle Ralph has a different set of bands that he grew up listening to. And you can hear that come in when he plays lead sometimes too. It's really neat.
Yeah, for sure. So I was going to ask y'all, so the songwriting process, I mean, do y'all write together like in a room, or do you write something and send it off? How do y'all do that?
No, everything is in that release sitting in right now.
You can see our process. Go ahead and steal our songs, even though you don't have the lyrics. There's all of our chords and stuff that we're working on, songs that we're going to trying to bring on stage shortly, or going to be working and stuff. So
everybody's like super creative. So like, I'll be writing lyrics when I'm at home. The guys will be coming up with stuff when they're at home. And then when we get together for practice, it's like, hey, check out this thing that I wrote. And it's like, somebody starts playing something, and then somebody else joins in on their instrument, and then somebody else joins in on their instrument. And then I start flipping through my lyrics, and I may have like four lines written. Hmm. And by the time, you know, the end of practice, we've got the whole song done. We just got to put it on a piece of paper and work out the kinks to get the dynamics in, make it more interesting, stuff like that. But we pretty much have the bones of a new song.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Almost every time we get together.
Yeah, right on, dude. That's awesome.
It's really crazy, though, the amount of, like, some songs will sit. And, like, we were just this year brought a song that we were writing, like, at the very beginning of being together, like, which Glasshouse.
Glasshouse
is a song that we've been playing at our current shows. It's on our like main set list. Even if we have just an hour, we're playing this. And the chords for that song and like the chorus have been just like around for 4 or 5 years, and now it's finally getting out. But then we'll write something new, like coming up for air. I think was on the stage within like a month of us like rehearsing it, right? So like it just depends, you know. It ranges back and forth.
Some songs need more work than others. Some of the stuff just clicks.
Yeah, right on. Do you notice like a certain? I mean, do you notice a formula or a pattern that happens between the songs that are popular or not popular?
Usually in my opinion, the popular stuff, the bass and the drums are really loud.
Mm.
The bass and the drums, when they hit hard and they hit together, it just like the way Pete and Lee play, it just draws you in.
Interesting. Wow. It's like
a lot of people don't expect the, you know, I mean, I have a country background, Texas country background, but I grew up on rap and Nirvana in the 90s. And, a lot of people don't, they look at us on stage and they're like, oh, that looks like a rock band. But then I'm wearing cowboy boots, you know, and then you don't expect the acoustic guitar to come in and be playing rock music.
Mm.
And when the way, I don't know, man, the way it all just flows together, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's us.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's awesome. That's very interesting. The songwriting process is always interesting to me, especially because like music, it's always the same, because like there's seven notes in a scale. Okay, how many chords can you get out of a scale? You know what I mean? And so that's why I'm asking, like, is it the same? You know what I mean? How do you stay away from being the same but still be catchy? You know what I mean?
Our songs like range the genres, range the chord progressions. Like, if you go through and listen, I think it's, you know, because of kind of the organic writing process, like, things tend to just happen. Like, I'd say the only thing we've gotten sometimes formulaic with is like the order of the song, like verse, chorus, you know, instrumental chorus kind of thing. But outside of that, like, some of that comes from us not having as much experience playing out for some of the guys. So like, if you mix the, just like, we don't know what the formula is, so we're going to do what we want to do.
Right.
And then like take that and apply, you know, Pete and Ralph, who played for years, you know, and really have that experience and know what things are supposed to sound like. It just, like, a lot of our songs have just, like, I want to hear people try to cover our songs, because I think it'd be hilarious to watch them be like, why the hell does it do that? You know, like, there's just, like, a random stop in the middle of it, or it switches, there's a key change, or, like, we just drop, like, the volume entirely. Like, coming up for air that I mentioned before, like, it's all about the drama of, like, how, like, of the volume. So like we're playing loud, we're getting into it, and then right when Brian's about to start singing, we just like as quiet as you can possibly be on the stage. Like you see,
but I think that brings in the dynamics of like me not playing an instrument because it helps me like show the emotion that it took for us to write those lyrics and for us to write that music. You know what I mean? Like when it drops out and I go up and I throw my arms up and just start singing, and then like nobody else is playing and it's just me. People turn and look and they're like, whoa, what happened? Now I'm going to pay attention. And we may be halfway through the song, but at least I got them for the second half, you know?
Very interesting. Yeah.
About to drink beer. And, you know, it's like they may just be there for whatever. All of a sudden they're coming up to you after you finish playing a song. They're like, hey, where can I get that at? Like, what is that? Where are you guys? I'm like, well, we've been here for an hour with you.
That's funny, bro.
I'm taking a break right now. I'm trying to go to the bathroom, man.
Yeah, right on.
But, you know, what we hear a lot too, like as a reaction to those things, will be like, man, y'all remind me of being back in Austin or whatever. Or like, are y'all from Austin or whatever? And we're trying to show, like, you know, especially here, we'll say it to our Corpus Christi audience. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be from Austin to be original music and have high energy and be something you want to listen to. So like really trying to promote, you know, recording right here in town, writing right here in town, and then bringing that music out. So we just want to see everybody come out for original music and support the community.
Yeah. So it's almost like not only music, but there's other portions of the community, like where we're trying to like push it up, you know what I mean? But it's just taking time. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Y'all sense that as well.
the community, it took a little while, but they got behind like Art Walk and stuff like that. I mean, there's you know, there's definitely a lot of artists in the area, different types of artwork and stuff like that. So I mean, I think Art Walk really helped. And then, you know, you're not necessarily going to Art Walk to hear the music or to see bands, but there are bands playing every other corner. So it's like, you might catch somebody out there and be like, oh, you know what? I never thought about that being art. Let me see who this is, you know?
Yeah.
It's a local musician. It's a local artist.
Yes, for sure. I was going to mention that when you were talking about your lyrics, like your voice is an instrument as well. You know, that's an art for sure. Yeah, man, definitely. Music is an art. I've always loved music. Ever since I started playing it, and it's like we're underground, like not a lot of people know about the musicians in town, but there's so many of them, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's the roster is fierce and deep, man.
Yeah.
If you ever go out to like the Exchange on jam night to hang out, or like a singer songwriter night at Surf Club or at the Water Garden now, you know, like there's so many people that are ready to play, and we just got to get them up there. So
yeah, get them up there to get it out there, dude, for real. That's awesome, man. So you guys are what, five piece, right?
Yeah, right. December. Now we're playing live with five people for sure. So
yeah, that's cool. You got a lot of different influences, man. That's awesome.
I'm we've always got room for one more.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Stop on by. Brian can't rap. We need somebody who can do that. Oh, okay.
This is a lot of rap, but I cannot do it.
Yeah, but you do harmonies, don't you, Lee?
Yeah, I do the harmonies for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wade was always doing harmonies. And we're going to have, we've got for the, how long has George been with us for like 6 months now? So George is an amazing harmony singer, but he's been so focused on being our new rhythm guitarist. Like you'll hear George on our tracks soon enough and coming out there. It's a lot of the stuff, because we wrote it, the three of us, Wade, Brian, and I, like it's designed for that three at least three vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. The more the merrier. So do you find yourself doing higher harmonies or lower harmonies to his vocals?
It depends on if I was there when we first started writing the song. Sometimes you know, for some of the things. I want to do the higher things, but like also Brian's got a really good range. So a lot of the stuff, keep that energy up, you want to keep it in that tenor range, which makes it very challenging for the other vocalists, like to do harmonies above, and not end up with the Simon and Garfunkel kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, so for some of the songs, it's right on there with it. But like for Embers in the Sea, which is like my favorite song to end on that we've written right now, and that's what I really want to bring into the studio right now. Yeah. It has a very like loud and, you know, higher heart. I just have to belt it and like back up from the microphone so that we can just blast it out. But then recently Ralph's been like taking that harmony when I need to switch back into what Wade's part was. And it's pretty awesome to see, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So are you comfortable in a certain key for Brian? Or like, I mean, do y'all play in the same key? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you said you're a tenor range, and I don't know which key would be good for a tenor range, you know?
We're all over the board as far as keys. The song goes, Brian's like, what's the key to a song? No.
That's funny, bro.
And that's okay, because I don't know what half the words are to our songs, so we can all have our expertise. But I don't know. Like, it's kind of funny. You'll see. I think you can tell that we have a range in what the keys of our songs because of the capos and the rhythm guitar. Cause you want to stick to those, like those cowboy chords that let you really have it open and get a lot of, you know, a lot of volume and sound out of the guitar. So like it really varies, as far as like what the key is. And some of the stuff, like it's higher and it's energy and it's scream, like more screaming type of stuff. And then we have the more country stuff that I think probably ends up being in that lower range. We have some strange stuff. We have stuff that's in like G sharp minor I don't know, like just what's like, there's a whole song like we're, for the verse, like the keyboards hang out like on just the G sharp, G sharp minor thing, and then go into some B stuff, which is like horrible on guitar unless you have, unless you're capoed or whatever.
Yeah,
for sure. So it's kind of, it's all over the place and it's pretty great. And we, you know, to his credit, like, we don't consider too much what his range is when we write. Like somebody just starts doing the chords and then he's like, okay, I'm going to sing. And he like is the best for coming up with like melody lines. Like that's so hard. I mean, maybe it's because I'm a bassist, but like trying to find the melody line from chords is even just instrumentally without words is hard, but like he's just goes with it. The words and the melody line come at the same time.
Yeah.
For the songs that he wrote that I, some of them, you know, Wade has come up with the melody line or Ralph, but like it's majority of the time it's Brian with right on point. So,
yeah. It's like, how do you do that? How do you find it? Like, where's the first place to start? So you've been singing for a while then, Brian?
A little while. I mean, my dad decided he wanted to start doing karaoke when I was like 20 or 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always go to the bar with my dad. So I was like, all right, I'll go with you, you know? And then he was like, come on, get up here and sing. And I'm like, I don't sing. Mm. Like, nah. And then I remember the first karaoke song I ever sang was by Gary Allen, which he has like a real grungy country kind of sound.
Right.
And that just got me to where I was like, man, I really feel this music. Like, I really want to sing now. And I started writing my own lyrics and everything. And that was pretty much as far as I took it for a long time. Yeah. I just had notebooks of lyrics. And then when I met Lee and Wade, it was pretty much like, hey, you know, if you guys want to, we can work on original stuff.
Mm.
And Lee and Wade were like, well, I mean, we have, you know, tried, we've just never really stuck with anything. And I was like, look, I have all these notebooks, like, let's see what we can do.
Cool.
And we put together like two country songs and then decided we were never going to do country again.
The countryest of country songs. If you look through like the annals of our YouTube, I think you can find a copy of My Old Guitar, which is like boom, 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 boom. You know,
oh,
like,
crazy.
You know, and
heard your name from my old guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it, that, but that twang just comes natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to really like get the music away from there, which is where we wanted to be. We didn't want to be, you know, we didn't really want to be in that country sound anyways.
Yeah.
For me to hear it, to hear the music differently, to get that like the grunge sound and the rock sound that, you know, I also grew up on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. And so most of your lyrics, so I guess, do your lyrics have like a theme to them, or everyone's different, or I mean, what's up there?
A lot of it's different. When I first started writing with the band, I was pigeonholed into like heartache stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then substance abuse type of stuff.
Mm.
And then depression kind of stuff. It's like I go through phases of what I'm writing, And luckily, it's all diverse enough that when it mixes together, it makes for a hell of a set list.
That's good, man.
It's awesome. Pretty fun because you're like, a lot of times there's like this huge dichotomy between what the lyrics are and what the song is. So like we have songs that are crazy hard rock and it's a love song. And then we have songs that are like, I am done with this life or whatever. And it's very happy and that kind of stuff. It works though. And it's kind of like a bonus to see if you're paying attention.
Yeah.
So in like a couple of the songs where we've done music videos, like the first time I saw one of the shots in the music video, I was like, oh, right. That's what that lyric means. I've never paid enough attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get that a lot on Without You.
Mm.
Without You was the first music video we did. And in the video, like I knew when I write a song, like I can see the video in my head, whether we're making a video for it or not. Like I just know, like that's how I see my lyrics, you know, like it's the story. And, you know, Without You is about this dude who's in love with this girl and she just bailed on him. And it basically turned his whole world upside down. He's drinking. He's going crazy. He's like, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know who I am without you. And one day he's sitting like on the floor and he puts on a pair of her shoes.
Hmm.
And he's like, I put on your favorite pair of shoes to change the angle of my point of view.
Crazy.
So everybody's like, oh, that's such a cool lyric. And then when we made the video, I actually put on a dress and a pair of shoes. And
wow.
I was looking in a mirror and I threw like a beer bottle at the mirror and it was like, holy crap. Like now I get it.
Hmm.
Like other people are like, now I understand what that lyric meant.
Wow.
And it's, cool. It's just cool to be able to display it that way.
Yeah. Dude, that is it reminds me of what you were saying earlier of how it's art, you know. You like paint a picture, but with your lyrics, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so many people knew that lyric, but yeah. Actually, like, watch me act it out. Like, my wife watching me act it out was like, oh, like, I get it now.
Wow, dude, amazing. Like,
it's just a different feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. Yeah, it even reminds me of, like, because, like, 90s lyrics, because I'm a 90s person, you know what I mean? And whenever I would listen to those guys, like, I would, like, what the heck does that mean? You know what I mean? And even still to this day, I'm like, dude, what does it mean? And I'm out here looking it up, like, dude, what did he mean in this song? Like the dude from, like, STP or like, you know those guys from that era. But anyway, yeah. that's pretty cool, man. So you guys got a single coming out, Punchy Bag Baby?
Yeah, we just released it, yeah.
Okay. So you just released it. It's on Spotify, where everyone else to listen to, right?
Yes. Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, everywhere.
Cool. Do you want to share about that song? Maybe a songwriting process or whatever?
Sure.
That one, I think, was started by either Lee or Ralph, because that one had a very, very different feel to it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a walking bass blues progression kind of thing. And the song overall ends up being, some people call it like rockabilly. Like it's really like totally different from anything else that we've released, I'd say. But it's just a lot of fun. You know, I get to start it out on the stage and we're moving along and it has these, you know, these stops that Brian gets to sing over that are just, perfect. And it's got a really great spot in there where tell them about the I love how you did the bridge for this song. Like, it's just Brian, you want to talk about that, because that's super organic.
Dude, you put me on the spot. I don't even know. Sorry. The
bridge. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know.
Yeah. You know, that was weird. I couldn't even come up with bridge lyrics, and I was at the point to where I was like, look, dude, we don't even need a bridge. Let's just have like a really cool instrumental. And the song is about, the song is about this couple who fights all the time and they probably shouldn't be together, but he's never going to leave, even though he knows he should. So he's basically saying, like, I'll always be your punching bag, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take your hits and you can wear the crown.
Yeah.
Like, he's the queen. Like, she won the fight, whatever. So I bet we had played this song like it was finished, like it was done. Like we had already hit the stage with it, with no bridge. And I was like, just accepted. We don't need a bridge for this song. And one day in the practice room, like, I just started singing along with the bridge notes. And I was like imagining like round one fight, like round two, like in Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll go a one round, two rounds, three, then four. And then one of us is going to hit the floor. And I was like, man, this is cool. So I let the bridge go halfway through with just music. And then I come in on the second half and sing, you know, one round, two rounds, three rounds, four.
Wow, that's cool.
It was like,
yeah, it's like parallel to the guitar solo that's in that section, which is really cool that they've worked out on. So there's usually Brian gets to dance with the guitarist a little bit.
Yeah.
While he's singing through that part, dance fight.
Simplest set of lyrics like I've ever written, but it was something that like you couldn't force. Like, it just needed to come organically. And and one day during practice, I mean, it just hit me.
Yeah, that's cool. it's pretty cool. Pretty cool because people know that sometimes people know the bridge is coming, and it's like, okay, what are they gonna do this time? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, man. Check them out, guys. Check it out. What is it? The Punching Bag Baby. You guys had you'll have it on YouTube also.
Yeah, it's everywhere. We use DistroKid. It puts the music. Like, we make sure to get the music out everywhere, so like they take care of that.
Oh, hell yeah. So DistroKid, so they distribute it pretty much everywhere. That's cool.
Yeah, you just check off all the boxes and you give them the picture and the – I'm giving away the secret sauce.
No, there you go.
And I also get – I end up having to write up Brian's lyrics, which is always interesting to see how much he's diverged from what he originally wrote.
No kidding. That's funny.
Stage. It's pretty – like, because you have to – they want you to get it to where the lyrics sync up, like you can do a karaoke with it.
Oh, okay, okay.
So you have to like hit the space bar as you're going through the words, and half the time I get like through a song, like I need to go back and fix the lyrics originally before I can do this to have it come through. But it's really neat though, because it's not the same. Like the choruses are not the same. Like all the like kind of like to include that stuff in the recording. That's why I love that we get to perform a lot of our stuff out before we record it. Because like, I think that the organic, like the pickup words into the different choruses and stuff come from being out there and really getting to feel the music.
Sure.
So like, it's not just copy and paste each one of these choruses. Like, oh, on this one, it has this little pickup. On this one, it's changed to, you know, it's about me instead of about you and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Then you feel each other. You feel the energy when you're live too.
Yeah. If there's anything we bring to the stage, it's energy. I don't know that, like, I am not the like even close to the best bassist in town, let alone like around the world. But like, and you know, and Brian is often down on himself about whatever, but like the fact is, if you come to see us live, like we leave it all there on the stage. Like we're jumping around. He's out there in the crowd. He's jumping on tables. You know, Pete and I are, you know, we go up to Pete and we're like, if you have a free hand, you can hit a drum, and we're back. Like Brian will be back there with the drummer. And George now has got his wireless set up. So we're jumping around the stage and fighting through the like the instrumental choruses, and it's fantastic. You know, Ralph is going to put his back out one of these days, because he'll jump off the stage too with his or whatever. So that's our claim to fame, is we look old, but we have a lot of energy.
it's all good. Like some people won't go that far, you know what I mean? And you guys are definitely putting in the work. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good thing. So you guys have y'all have something live coming up today? What shows y'all have coming up?
So we've had a big weekend. So like, unfortunately, we kind of hit this backwards. Friday night, we opened for Clarissa Cerna at Brewster Street. That's our second appearance over there, and did just an hour of our like kick-ass music. Like,
cool. How was the turnout?
It was pretty. I'd say there was probably 100 people there, right? And that was all. That was a ticketed show, which is pretty great. You know, and people were like, everybody was coming out with their cell phones to record video and check it out later and stuff, which we really appreciate. And Clarissa was so gracious as a host, having us come in and then thanking us like when she started the set and like after, and we took pictures with her band and stuff. And it was just a great like showing of, you know, Corpus music camaraderie, or whatever. Yesterday we were in Sinton, completely different kind of scene. We're at like a rodeo hall kind of thing, and they were doing, you know, chili cook-off and cars and that and show and all that kind of stuff. But that was fun. What do we have coming up? We're playing next month in Portland. We're helping out Real Men Wear Pink. So, you know, they raise money for you know, cancer research and that sort of thing. So they're going to be doing a big event in Portland, and then we're playing for the first time at the Packery Bar and Grill in Corpus in November, which is going to be a cool opportunity for us. And then the very next day, the 19th in November, we're playing for the first time at the Corpus Christi Wine Festival, which is going to be great. We're playing on the same stage as, is it Proof of Life? And, who's the other headliner this year? I'm trying to remember. I'll have to go back and look. That's shaping up to be a great event.
Yeah,
and we're all excited to get to play more. We've been doing some more hometown shows. Brian's got a young kid, so we can't do a tour as much as we were, like, because we need to be respectful of that. So, like, but we've been in the past year, we've been in Dallas and San Antonio, Luckenbach, Beeville. Yeah.
But do y'all get good responses when y'all do go play out of town? I mean, what's up there?
Oh, yeah. It was San Antonio was the best for a response. When we played Fiesta de los Reyes, which is, you know, what a party, man. They know how to party in San Antonio, dude. For 2 weeks, it's like triple what Art Walk is. Like, we played on like on a Thursday night, and you couldn't fit another person on that street. Like, and they were all like, everybody had their elotes and stuff, and they were people were buying us beers and hanging out and checking out the rock music, and it was fantastic.
cool, yeah, man. That's,
they were passing us beers while we were singing in the middle of the songs from the back of the tent. And they were like, that person just bought this for you. Hey, that person just bought this for you. I'm like, man.
It was pretty convenient. The beer tent was right by the
stage. I'm driving home. We had to stop. We had to stop halfway home at a taco truck at a gas station just to eat some food.
Wow, man.
It was crazy up there.
Wow. That's
that was
good.
Probably that our worst load-in experience we've had so far as well. That was an interesting gig. We had to walk the whole drum set, maybe half a mile because of how we had to cross the street.
When they do Fiesta up there, I mean, they shut down the streets, they shut down the sidewalks. That way they can keep everybody, you know, in an orderly fashion. So we had to park down the road and around the block and then carry everything over. And then we get there and we're set up and Peter G's like, hey, bro, I forgot my drumsticks in Corpus. We had to map out a music store in downtown San Antonio and walk over to it because we couldn't get there.
What else was that? Also, the gig where you had to jump my car on the way there.
Yeah, you broke down.
That was a rough day, man. Oh, we had a great show. It was a rough day.
76.
Wow. Oh man, you like better make the most
out of town. We often ride like all together. Brian's got an epic truck, so we kind of enjoy riding in there. He's even got the cooling seats,
which
was pretty great after you've been playing outside.
Yeah,
those are the best tacos I've ever had after that show, though.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming on the show, man. Do y'all have anything else you guys like to share?
Just check us out on Facebook. I mean, we try to update all of our social media, but Facebook, we definitely keep up with the best.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to be playing Surf Club, House of Rock, Brewster Street, all in the future, probably all within the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Just working out the dates and stuff. And then like Lee said, we've got a couple shows coming up and the wine festival is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a big party.
Awesome. That's good. All right. Well, I'll leave links in the description as well. For sure, man, to get you guys, help you guys out. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
so man, once again, appreciate y'all coming on. Good luck with all your with all the stuff you're working on, man, for sure.
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate it, man.
Welcome. Glad you guys are here in Corpus, man. Take it easy.
Oh yeah, forever.